this week's After Dinner speaker. He's our man with all the numbers at his fingertips, also in his head, probably more likely in his head, Dr. Dylan Mayhew from Victoria University School of Maths. Kia ora, Dylan. Welcome back tonight.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
You want to remember one of this country's leading mathematicians who died the other day.
Indeed. That's Vaughan Jones, probably the best-known mathematician to ever come from New Zealand, who died sadly and unexpectedly on September the 6th at the age of 67.
You ever met Vaughan?
I never knew him personally, but I have seen him speak on a few occasions. Once when I was a graduate student, and I was, as you can imagine, quite awestruck.
What was he talking about?
He was talking about his new ideas for planar algebras. It was a very interesting talk, even if I didn't understand all of it as a graduate student. I thought it was a great talk.
Okay, I'm already getting into asides here. I warned you about one of my asides, but not this one. What's planar algebra? Is that plane as opposed to complicated algebra?
No, it's planar as in flat.
Ah.
So his idea was that you could construct an algebraic, sort of an algorithm by drawing curves in the plane. Very interesting idea, not one that I fully understand even now.
My head's starting to spin already.
Yep.
Just thinking about that. Mm-hmm. He got a Fields Medal. Now, that's kind of like the Nobel Prize for Maths, isn't it? We've spoken about some of the winners of that over the years. He got it in 1990. What for?
So, it was a breakthrough in an area of mathematics called knot theory. And I should specify that it's knot with a K, knot theory. It wasn't that he was avoiding theory. He did his work in knot theory with a K.
Yes. Actually, I'm just thinking now, I put this into my promo for the show, and of course I didn't say knot with a K, I just said knot theory, and I wonder how many people are now thinking knot theory as in the opposite of theory.
Something other than theory.
Until you brought that up, I hadn't considered that.
Yeah.
But now, if you're listening in and you're wondering what a knot theory is, now it is knots as in... Well, by the way, we've actually put up on both our Facebook page and our web page examples of knots that I don't know if they're directly related to what you're about to tell us, Dylan, but they're up there. Knot theory, however. I mean, what's the maths of knots?
Well, first of all, I should say that a mathematical knot is a little bit different from the knot that we might tie in a piece of string, but only a little bit. So if you imagine taking a piece of string and looping it around and knotting it, and then you need to glue the two ends of the pieces of string together so that it forms a single unbroken loop, that is a mathematical knot. And, well, so what is mathematical about these things? It doesn't appear to be traditionally mathematical, because often when we think of mathematics, we think of the manipulation of numbers. But mathematics is also concerned with the manipulation of objects in space. And a knotted loop of string is a mathematically interesting object in space.
Here's another aside. Generally, when I'm dealing with knots, it's my shoelaces. And that's tying two pieces of string together, is it not?
Well, only if you're tying your shoes together.
Yes. Well, hang on. You're right. Well, actually, it's one piece of string,
yep,
isn't it? The shoelace on one shoe is one piece of string.
The
right?
Shoelace on one piece
if
of
I'm
string.
I'm sounding, yep, a bit distant, listeners. That's because I'm showing my shoe,
yep,
to Dylan as we talk. So then I tie a knot.
Uh-huh.
So that it tightens the string around the shoe, so the shoe will stay on my foot.
Correct.
But at no point does that particular lace form a complete loop.
No, you would have to glue the ends of the shoelaces together, and then you would have a mathematical knot.
Why are mathematicians only interested in those kind of knots?
Because they can't be unknotted. A piece of string with a knot in it, if the string is sufficiently thin and slippery, well, then the knot is just going to fall out. You could, pushing and pulling on that piece of string, you will always be able to unknot just a length of string. So they're all the same. Every knot in a length of string is the same. They're all just trivial. But if you tie the two pieces, if you glue the two ends of the string together, they become mathematically interesting.
In other words, for you, a mathematical knot is if you removed all the knots, you would have an unbroken loop of string.
Correct.
Or whatever the knot is made of.
A mathematical knot is a knotted loop of string, correct.
Yes, so like a circle.
Yeah, like a circle, except knotted in some complicated kind of way.
Okay, now, when did mathematicians start getting interested in these mathematical knots?
Actually, a while ago, back in the 19th century, because of this interesting idea that atoms, the fundamental particles of matter, might actually be little knots in the ether that sort of pervades the universe, as they thought at the time. So that was an idea of Lord Kelvin, of the Kelvin temperature scale fame. And it didn't work out. It's not true. So the modern conception of the atom is really nothing like that. But it's a nice idea.
Because atoms are neither particles nor waves, are they?
Well, sure. Yeah, that is true.
It's not a completely out there kind of theory, is it?
Perfectly good theory. It just turned out not to be supported by the evidence.
Is there any relationship between that rejected theory of atoms being knots and string theory, which is another way we try to make sense of the universe from the quantum to the atomic level?
So my understanding of string theory, which I will admit is extremely minimal, is that it concerns strings in very high dimensional spaces, strings curled up in 11 dimensions, say, whereas a mathematical knot of the type that Vaughan Jones worked in is sitting in perfectly ordinary three-dimensional space. So
okay.
I don't think there's too much resemblance there.
What was the problem that Vaughan Jones was trying to solve?
So
he wasn't trying to untie his shoelaces. We've now established that.
No, indeed not.
Or tie them up, for that matter.
So the biggest problem in knot theory, and what this has been the biggest problem in knot theory for decades, is just trying to tell the difference between two knotted loops of string. So if I had two knotted loops of string in front of me, they might look very different. You know, one is curled up in a different way from the other. But it may be that by pushing and pulling on the loop of string, I could make them look exactly the same. They may be the same knot. So the question is, if you have two knots that look very different, how can you tell whether they are actually the same? And this is the problem that he made a very big and very unexpected advance in.
How did he work it out?
It was a little bit of an accident. He wasn't working in knot theory at all. He was working in a topic of abstract mathematics called von Neumann algebras. And then through some serendipity, he started recognizing a connection between what he was discovering and work that people had done in earlier decades in knot theory. And whether he spoke to knot theorists, in particular, he spoke to a woman named Joan Berman about the possible application to knot theory. And after some further pulling on the string, so to speak, he discovered that he had a powerful, new, and unexpected tool for telling the difference between knots.
Are you able to explain that in words now, Dylan? This is your little task.
Yeah. You've
got plenty of time.
Okay.
We've got 8 minutes.
So Vaughan Jones is one of the few mathematicians to have a mathematical object named after him. It's one of the great honours that mathematicians can bestow on other mathematicians. So the object that is named after him is the Jones polynomial. And a polynomial is relatively familiar from high school algebra. You might remember dealing with things like x to the power 3 plus 4x squared minus 2x plus 1. That is a polynomial expression.
You might get something like a parabola.
Yeah, that's right.
A
parabola is an example of a polynomial. It is the graph of a polynomial function. So polynomials are familiar algebraic expressions. And what Vaughan Jones did was discover a new way of associating a polynomial to every knot. And this is important because you can calculate this polynomial for every knot. If you draw a picture of a knot for me, I will be able to calculate the Jones polynomial with a bit of effort. And then if you draw another knot for me, I'll be able to calculate the Jones polynomial for that knot as well. And if they have different polynomials, then it tells me they are definitely different knots. So it gives me a certificate that these two knots are different.
Well, if people are able to access our webpage, rnz.co.nz/nights, and they go to the Tuesday, today's episode page, you'll see at the top a diagram, a set of diagrams. The one at the top left-hand corner is a circle, also known as an unknot. The next one along looks like the moulding of two eggs together. This has got underneath it 3 with a 1 underneath, so it's not 3 to the power of 1, but it's 3 got a 1 below the 3 to the right. What is that telling us?
So that comes from the very first catalogue of knots back in the 19th century. So those numbers assigned to them are just a way of keeping track of these different knot objects. So people have been cataloguing knots for a long, long time and have come up with different schemes for representing them in their catalogue. So that will be one of those schemes for representing knots.
It's very, however, that didn't really answer the question as to what the 3 and the 1 is telling us.
Yeah, I can't remember.
You can't remember?
I think
you don't want to come around and have a look here, do you?
Sure.
Mr. Dillon, he's going to come around and look over my shoulder. So there you see that one.
Okay, so I can tell you what the 3 stands for. It's a 3 crossing knot. So if I draw that knot in the simplest possible way, it will be drawn on the paper with 3 crossings.
Three places where the line goes over itself.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the smallest non-trivial knot. That's called the trefoil knot. And the interesting thing about the trefoil knot is that it comes in 2 flavours. So the trefoil knot and its mirror image are actually different knots. And one of the things that the Jones polynomial can do that other earlier knot tools were incapable of doing... is the Jones polynomial can tell the difference between those 2 different flavours of the trefoil knot.
And it's not just that they... Because the trefoil means they cross 3 times.
Right.
But there are 2 ways of crossing 3 times.
Exactly.
And the Jones polynomial can predict that. Yep. Is it like... So when we see this diagram here, is that effectively... Could I put an X and Y axis underneath that and the polynomial predict how the line... would move. It's not like algebraic maths.
No,
that I
that's
from
right.
High school.
So in high school, we often are concerned with drawing polynomials and cubic curves and things like that. So in those cases, we are thinking of the polynomials as functions. It's a way of putting a number into a machine and getting a number out of that machine. Jones polynomials are not like that. Sorry, they are unlike that. It's difficult to avoid ambiguity when you're using the word not in 2 different contexts.
Yes, that's true. The other thing that I was intrigued by was the idea of a circle being an unknot, but that there's some complicating factors to do with the unknot. Are there not? Yeah, I'm going to do it even if you're not.
You see how difficult it is?
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, one of the famous unsolved problems to do with the Jones polynomial concerns the unknot, which is, as you say, just an unknotted circle. And the question is, well, let me give a little background. It is possible for 2 different knots to have the same Jones polynomial. So we know that if 2 knots have different Jones polynomials, they are different. But it doesn't work in the other direction. So if 2 knots have the same polynomial, maybe they're the same, maybe they're different. So that's just the way the polynomial works. Now, here's a question that nobody knows the answer to. Is there any knot which is different from the circle, different from the unknot, which has the same Jones polynomial as the unknot? That is a major unsolved problem.
Are we not making these things unnecessarily complicated?
Well,
a circle is a circle, isn't it?
Yes, but...
And if it's unknotted, it's unknotted.
That is true. If a circle is unknotted, then it's unknotted. But is there some circle that is knotted which gives you the same Jones polynomial as that unknotted circle? That is what we don't know the answer to.
I mean, off the top of my head, that seems ridiculous that you could have a polynomial that describes a circle
and
a knot.
And something else. Yeah, it does seem silly, doesn't it? Yeah,
I agree with you. Why do we even suspect that's the case?
We don't suspect it's the case. Well, I think experts in the subject don't suspect it's the case. They just haven't been able to prove otherwise. That's the way mathematics works. Even though something seems obviously true, if we haven't been able to demonstrate it with absolute rigor, then we're not satisfied.
Is that because there are so many possible algebraic descriptions of knots?
There are so many knots. And so we just looked at a picture of a knot drawn with 3 crossings. Imagine a knot drawn with 1 billion crossings or 1 trillion crossings.
Yes, which, I mean, the number of crossings is infinite, isn't it?
It can be as large as we like. So could, out of this entire infinite universe of knots, is it possible that one of them has the same Jones polynomial as the unknot? We can't rule it out, not yet.
And you can't rule out that something, an equation which maybe leads to billions of crossings, could also lead to a circle.
Yeah, we can't rule it out.
Right. I mean, that is almost worth a topic in itself, Dylan, don't you think? That maths can predict something. Yeah. That maths is seemingly all about hard and fast numbers, and yet maybe can predict, the same equation can predict very different outcomes. That almost seems like Schrodinger's cat to me.
It is quite extraordinary that it's an unsolved problem. It must be very, very hard. I mean, not being a knot theorist, I don't know exactly how hard it is, but it must be hard because there are very smart people working in this field and they haven't been able to solve it.
Dylan, it's been great having you on. Thanks very much for joining us again.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for reminding us of the work of the late Vaughan Jarnes.
Thank you.
Dr. Dylan Mayhew from Victoria University School of Mathematics, back with more numbers in around about 10 weeks from now.